This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Our first guest this morning is Senator Dean Smith from WA. With the passage of the Marriage Equality Bill, Dean firmly has his eyes on the future, and we welcome you again to the show, Dean. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
Thank you. Now, pyjamas? You're in your pyjamas?
No, not at all. I have got up bright and early and come into the office in West Perth, which is not too far from my home, so it's very, very convenient for these early morning radio interviews.
You're not in your trackies, are you? You're not in your trackies there, are you?
I'm not a trackie sort of guy, actually, but I'm not clean-shaven this morning. That's my concession.
Well, I haven't actually trimmed my beard for over a week, so I'm not either. There you go.
You are looking
a tad
shaggy, Macca.
I know. Just as well, it's not visual, Dean. It'd be quite shocking.
Dean, it's great to have you back on the show.
Well, thanks for the invitation again.
Yeah. We highly value and acknowledge the work that you've done in shepherding through marriage equality in this nation. So thank you.
And you know, one of only 15 private members' bills that have passed the federal parliament since Federation. There you go. Dean, I'm just wondering, since the passage of that legislation, what changes have you observed in Canberra, in the parliament and around the parliament since then?
Mm. Well, you've heard me sort of reflect on the fact over the last few weeks that the magnitude of the change hadn't sort of resonated with me, and of course, for parliamentarians like lots of other people, you complete one task and then you sort of quickly move on to others. But I've got to say that over the last few days, and it's probably coincided with the fact that life has started to slow down for me as we sort of prepare for Christmas and the summer season. I remember listening to an early morning radio show, and one of the young girls that had been successful in getting her marriage arrangements brought forward was talking about what it meant to her, what it meant to her family, and it sort of resonated with me that this was actually very real for people now. So it's been listening to people's stories, whether it's on the radio, people coming up to me, but I think it's more than actually just people's ability to get married. I think it really is this idea that there's a new level of acceptance, there's a new level of support in the community. And I just noticed that in the behaviour of myself or my friends are much more open about, showing someone some affection when you're walking down the street. There's a real level of acceptance and joy. And that's been slow for me to realise. It may well just be a bit of a coping mechanism. I've got a job to do, so keep my feet firmly on the ground. But as we've got closer to the summer season and Christmas, I really have allowed myself to feel it more, feel that joy in the community. And certainly I just sort of feel there's much more pride in people's tone when they talk about their relationships, when they talk about aspiring to relationships. So it is good. The country has done a very great thing. And I was just writing a piece for a paper over the last couple of days. And, of course, this is the first Christmas. This is the first Christmas where people don't sort of have to hope and pray that marriage might happen in our country. This is a Christmas that people will take their partners to Christmas celebrations or other family gatherings and talk about their marriages or aspire to be married. So the country has done a really great thing.
Dean, I acknowledge that that we now have legal marriage equality, but I do believe that society still has a way to catch up, though. And you mentioned earlier on that there will be more people now walking the streets holding hands and being publicly affectionate. And I hope that is the case. But I do think that those things which are social factors tend to lag behind sometimes, or sometimes they can be well ahead of. But in this case, I think it will be some time before we actually genuinely see people who are sexuality and gender diverse being as affectionate as our heterosexual sort of people will be.
Well, what I'd say to that, or what I'd add to that, is that now that we've achieved marriage equality in this country, it does not mean that the life for LGBTI Australians, whether they be young or old, all of a sudden becomes hassle-free. Or all of those trials and tribulations that LGBTI Australians feel suddenly get lifted, because that's not true. Life is still going to be tough and unfair.
That's right.
And people will still have to navigate what it means to be an LGBTI Australian. And that might actually sort of speak to a little bit of the caution that I've sort of had within myself about getting too carried away about this, because it is an important achievement. It does remove such a visible plank of discrimination. But we would be doing everyone a disservice if we suggested that all of a sudden life gets fair and life gets much easier, because, our challenges as a community are still real. They perhaps, in some ways, you know, when you make one advance, you actually might create more difficulties in other sorts of areas. So that probably speaks to my cautionary tone.
I think that's absolutely right. And the interesting thing is that, the day after the vote, the day after, we had marriage equality legalised in this country, I woke up and guess what? Really not much had changed. Yes, we had this legal tick on one end, and that's been a battle that we have worked on collectively for so long. But really, at the end of the day, the sky hasn't fallen down. The world hasn't changed. People haven't grown horns on their heads. You know, we are all still progressing and continuing to do the things that we did.
And growing in our own way. And those challenges that existed before marriage became legislated still exist today.
That's correct.
Very, very important issues around mental health and well-being for LGBTI Australians. Very, very important issues around ageing for LGBTI Australians and how our aged care system accommodates that. Very, very critically important issues around STI and HIV transmission in Indigenous communities. So I would hope that success on marriage, and if we think about why marriage was successful, cross-party support, the pro-marriage advocates kept a very, very strong and positive story. If we can apply that approach, that energy to many of these other unresolved issues in our community, then that, I think, is the real success.
So Dean, as a member of the current government, what can you tell us about what we, our community, the LGBTI community, can expect from government coming forward? Now, we have seen some investment in things like QLife, which is a national telephone counselling support service available to the nation. It's now, I think, in its second tranche of funding. What else can we expect? Are there any other things that the government has in store that will actually support the health and well-being of the LGBTI people in this nation?
Well, there's a couple of responses. The first is, I think, that as a community we need to accept that in the same way that we are all individuals in the LGBTI community, it's important to recognise that in the Parliament there will be a broad range of LGBTI Australians with different political views and different worldviews, and that we should sort of encourage, that difference and diversity in political expression. For myself, there are a couple of priorities, issues that I've, advocated on over the last few months. I haven't necessarily had the outcome I'm looking for, but if the marriage debate has taught me something, it is the importance of tenacity. It's the importance of not accepting no as an answer.
Yes.
I've decided to accept no as just the beginning of a new discussion. On the same issue. Now, there are two that stand out for me. One, some will be aware that during the postal survey, I advocated with the PM and with Greg Hunt that there should be better support for LGBTI services during the postal survey. And I did a forensic examination of where mental health services were being funded or were not being funded. Unfortunately, that was rejected, but as far as I'm concerned, that matter is not finished in my mind, and I'm hoping that over the next few weeks or the next month, Greg Hunt will do the right thing and better support mental health services for LGBTI people. Because again, this goes back to the earlier comment. Because yes, we have had a positive outcome on marriage. Yes, there's a lot of joy and excitement, but you know that does sort of paper over the trauma and hurt that many LGBTI Australians were forced to endure as a result of the postal survey. And let me just say that they did that privately. They did that in their own relationships. They didn't do it publicly. And in addition to that, I do think that this is the perfect time to put a better focus on what are the mental health and wellbeing challenges for LGBTI Australians. That is a task I'm not giving up on, and you know I'm hoping that the squeaky will get the oil. But the other one that is
good on you, Dean. You have our full support with all of those.
Oh, and to be fair too, others have been advocating as well. For that. But I'm not going to take no as an answer because this is a genuine and legitimate issue, and I don't think we're talking about large sums of money, remembering as well that the postal survey did come in under budget. But the other thing I would say, and this is particularly important to me, and it's work that I've been doing as the chair of the parliamentary liaison group on HIV, bloodborne viruses and STIs. We have a critical issue in Indigenous communities, in regional and remote Indigenous communities around STI infection rates and HIV infection rates. And it is just outrageous that standards of care that are available to people living in our cities that might have STIs or HIV are not the same standard of care that are being given to Indigenous communities. This is a critical issue, one that I've been banging the drum on for 12 months. I'm pleased that Ken White, the Indigenous Affairs Minister, has started to respond to this, and the Chief Medical Officer now are putting their mind to this critical issue. But I've got to say, 12 months of banging the drum, a bit disappointing. But what about
PrEP? Can we expect to see PrEP on PBS?
Well, it's interesting
this year?
Because at the World AIDS Day event that we had, not on World AIDS Day, but the following week, Greg Hunt, as the Minister for Health, was cautious but optimistic in his comments around PrEP and the regulatory process that we need to go through. But so for me, I'm excited about what we've been able to achieve as a community in regards to marriage, but that just motivates me and propels me into 2018 to tackle more difficult issues. I mean, I think we don't want to forget the long battle that many, many people had over many, many years to get a marriage outcome. But I'm hoping that the ingredients of success on marriage, like I said, that cross-party support, not taking no for an answer, being very, very careful about the message that we use, can deliver some really positive outcomes in these other areas, because life does go on, the sun does come up, and that does mean that those challenges aren't necessarily erased.
Dean, before Makaram grabs the microphone off me and asks you the next question, I just want to let you know that we've had a message here from a person called Sam, who says that Dean is, and I'm quoting now, Dean is correct. The conversations have just begun. Mr. Smith has been nominated as one of the best leaders in politics by Melbourne University. So congratulations on that nomination.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
And Macca again, Nicholas Reese last night on Sky named you as one of his heroes of the year.
Nick Reese is a fellow at the University of Melbourne and
also a Melbourne City Councillor.
And a Melbourne City Councillor and a political commentator and a former Labor.
So there you go.
staffer.
Well, it's important for me. I've still got my job to do. I've still got my job to do going forward, and it's always been really important to me to keep my, feet firmly on the ground. And I suppose the challenge for me going forward is to be able to live up to people's expectations on a whole range of other issues. But it's true, guys, that, you know, in 2017 I did find my voice on some issues, and I'm going to use that voice on issues that are important to our community. And there'll be points that we agree and disagree on, I'm absolutely sure about that, but I'm also going to use that voice to stand up for West Australian constituents. And my strong sense of it is that people are looking for plain-speaking parliamentarians. They want people to stand up on matters of conviction. They accept that they might not always agree on every issue, but they're looking for plain-speaking, they're looking for results, and they're looking for a bit of community.
And plain-speaking and conviction, actually, that was a lovely segue to what I want to ask you, Dean. Malcolm Turnbull, I think it's fair to say a lot of people had very high expectations of Malcolm when he became leader and Prime Minister. Plain-speaking and conviction. I don't think Malcolm can ever be accused of plain-speaking and conviction on marriage equality. Yes, he and Lucy made a fairly amusing video. He really didn't enter the debate. He didn't lead the debate. How do you believe Malcolm has dealt with the marriage equality issue? And in particular, there's another issue coming up. The new Attorney General has said he wants to abandon or do away with the Human Rights Commission. Is Malcolm a conviction politician, Dean?
I think context is sort of important for me. I was someone who didn't support removing Tony Abbott from the leadership the first time we had a ballot. I did support Malcolm when he nominated for the leadership of the party and became the leader. You know, if I'm to be frank and clear speaking, when I travel around the LGBTI community, doesn't matter if it's in Western Australia or across the country, I do think the word that comes most to mind is the word disappointment. But I say to people, just perhaps give Malcolm the benefit of the doubt for a little while longer. It is true that I think many people underestimated the impact of the postal survey on our community, and I think that our community would have liked to have seen more people argue strenuously against it. It's true that Malcolm was in a very difficult political situation. It's true I would have liked to have seen him and others argue more strongly in favour of the parliamentary free vote, because it's most consistent with the customs and traditions of the party. I think in this day and age it's very, very easy to be have a sense of disappointment in our political leaders. If Malcolm wasn't able to live up to people's expectations in regards to marriage, then let's hope that he might live up to their expectations when it comes to LGBTI mental health funding, when it comes to correcting HIV and STI infections in Indigenous communities, when it comes to those other sorts of issues that the LGBTI community is going to face in the future. So that's my frank and honest response. But the beauty of politics is there's always another day, there's always another issue, and I'm hoping that he'll be able to live up to and exceed people's expectations in 2018.
We will wait with wasted breath.
And it's a nice shopping list, Dean, to start with. look, we want to thank you again. This bill will always be remembered, the Marriage Equality Bill, as your bill. One of only 15 private members' bills since Federation that's passed. But I want to thank you for your commitment. I want to thank you for your time. Making time on a Saturday morning, 3 hours behind, but your commitment...
I call it old man's disease. I'd noticed when I was a kid my father would get up earlier and earlier and earlier, the older he got. And now I've inherited that. I used to be one of these, I'd stay out all night and I'd sleep during the day. That's not the case anymore.
And Dean, I've got to say, we've had a switchboard full of very, very positive comments. Another comment's just come through saying that you've displayed extraordinary diplomacy and goodwill in a very hostile environment. Yeah. Melina Smith, who's a regular listener of ours and a bit of a critic as well, did actually come out and say congratulations, Dean Smith, and it just goes on and on and on. So on behalf of our community, thank you for your contribution in helping to make marriage equality a reality.
Reality.
And we look very forward to working with you and supporting you in helping our community to achieve those things that are very essential, whether it be access to medication, whether it be access to treatment, whether it be access to support, physical support, emotional support, mental health support. We look very forward to working with you.
Great, guys, and best wishes for summer and the Christmas season.
Yes, and have... My last bit of advice is don't choke on a turkey bone on Monday. We need you. We need you. Okay?
Happy New Year, Dean.
You take care.
Have a lovely break. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. You take care. Bye-bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.